Let's ask for blessing before we open Scripture today. Lord, help us to hear you well. And so bless us as we engage in speaking and listening and thinking and feeling. May your Holy Spirit, active so long ago through the Apostle Paul writing these words in this letter, may your Holy Spirit be just as active today writing these words from this letter onto our hearts. Bless us, Lord God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read one of the more familiar passages in Scripture today, Philippians 4. And you'll know this passage because it's filled with familiar Bible passages. And then I'd like to think about one of the unfamiliar phrases in this chapter as a way in. I'm going to start at verse 2. I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me an aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, Philippians 4 is one of those chapters that's filled with familiar, maybe even famous, Bible verses. They're the kind of Bible verses that we like to memorize and have ready to remember and to share, to put to work in our own lives and maybe offer them to other people so that these words can work in their lives too. There's at least four or five of these famous verses in this chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Do not be anxious. Right? Let your requests be made known to God in prayer. And the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts. Right? Familiar words. Whatever is noble, true, beautiful, lovely, admirable, praiseworthy, excellent, think about those kinds of things. Verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And then, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Something about all of those verses that we know well and that we remember for ourselves, and sometimes we remember them to share with others. They point us in the direction of God. All of them. They're about turning our eyes to focus Godward. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. Lift your eyes away from your troubles. Don't be anxious here, but pray this way. I can do all things through Him. My God will supply all your needs. So, you've got these verses, and they focus attention on God, and they're positive, very positive, and they're assertive words, strong words. They almost seem to suggest, look, don't focus on yourself. Make sure you turn your eyes there. So if they're so positive and so assertive and God-focused, how can you go wrong with them? Right? They're the kind of words you hang on to. You hang on to your walls. How many of you or how many you've seen in other homes some of these words on a plaque somewhere? The kind of words we use to inspire each other, to encourage, to inspire hope, to light a fire. And you know what? For some folks, hearing words like these is very helpful. Rejoice in the Lord. Do not be anxious. I can do all things. God will supply all of your needs. Some folks hear these words when they read the Bible or when a fellow Christian quotes them. Some folks find them helpful, but others find them hugely overwhelming. Some folks feel judged because in their own lives or in my own life, it just doesn't seem that simple or straightforward. Which leads to asking those hard questions like, well, where is this peace that passes all understanding? And where is the confidence that I can do all things through Christ? How is it true that God supplies all my needs? My life, my experience doesn't mesh with these verses. And so woe is me. What do you do? What do you do when your life does not match the Bible verse? You know, it's one of the hazards of lifting certain phrases or certain sentences out of the Bible and memorizing them all by themselves. They can take a life of their own or take on a life of their own, and sometimes they convey different things, too much or too little from what Paul in this case might really be talking about. And that's the way it is in this letter with the Philippians. When you take a little snippet, you sometimes miss something. You know the way it works? When you've got a story to tell somebody, and they hear this one thing, and after that they don't hear another thing you say? They just latch onto that one thing, and then the rest just kind of buzzes through? You want them to get the whole story and all the nuances, but it's not happening. So imagine now you're in the Philippian church, and the letter of Paul has come, and somebody stands up front like I'm here today and reads the letter out loud, which is how it worked. Everybody else gathered round. And there's this one sentence that jumps out and people hear it and then the rest just kind of gets missed. And imagine that one sentence that we are hearing and latching onto is that sentence that is so positive and strong. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, that's the one we memorize. I can do all things. Whatever I set my mind to doing, whatever task is given me, I can do it. It's through Christ we qualify. But it happens to be a sentence which fits very nicely, almost seductively, with the North American dream. Dream big. Be whatever you want to be. Have whatever you want to have. You can tackle whatever you set your heart or mind to tackling. Go big or go home. True not only for other people, true for you. Make it your own. Can do. I can do. And these words just seem to blend in with that whole notion that says you follow your dreams, you carve out your own destiny, you can create yourself in your own image. Here's the thing. When we hear that sentence of Paul in this way, we're hearing it in terms of accomplishment. Accomplishment. You can do this or that. Through Christ, you can. And there's some truth in that for sure. But is that what Paul was saying? Listen again. Verse 10 is where I'm beginning. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. And if you're the group that's hearing somebody say, at last you've renewed your concern, it's like, what are you saying? We weren't concerned before? And then Paul kind of explains. He's saying, look, I'm not trying to blame you or get you all upset. And he says, look, I'm not looking for handouts. I know you didn't have opportunity to express your concern, and I was fine. You know, I handled it. I managed it. I was in prison. I know how to deal with lots or little, with health or sickness. I learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when he says that, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, he's summarizing what he's learned through his life. He's just saying. That's not the centerpiece of what he's saying. It's just a summary of some things on the side. This is Paul, the prisoner, speaking. This is Paul who has been whipped, who's been imprisoned, who's enjoyed benefactors, yes, but also suffered persecution. This is Paul speaking not at all about accomplishing and doing and becoming and thinking possibilities. This is Paul speaking about enduring. This is Paul speaking about the importance of maintaining your bearings in life, of staying the course and keeping perspective. This is Paul saying, no matter what, remember who you are. Remember who Jesus is. Remember in whose hand the world is being held. I can deal with everything that comes my way through him who strengthens me. So this is Paul speaking as somebody who's experienced a lot in life. A lot of good things, yes, but a lot of hard things. And he is not a poster boy for any North American can-do attitude, even though a can-do attitude is terrific. But Paul is saying can do to dealing with whatever comes his way. He can do, he can handle it, he can maintain it, endure it, because in Christ he keeps his bearings straight. He knows what's what in Christ. He knows who he is in Christ. So it's not about striving to accomplish something. It's about the strength to endure, which comes out of the experience of hardships. And that's why the next thing that he says is so important. Like if people know a text, Philippians 4:13 is one. I can do all things. But how many of us know Philippians 4:14? Philippians 4:14, it was good of you to share in my troubles. The one we know, verse 13, is it focuses attention on the individual, right? What I can do. What I can do through Him, Jesus, who gives me strength. Which makes me think, right, that if I have Christ's strength, I can do it. Whatever it is, Christ in me, Christ and me. Yet, says Paul, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Why does Paul say that? Because it's in these other human beings, these other human beings who don't offer advice so much, but who offer help, practical help. Those who acknowledge hardship as real, without simple solutions or quick fixes, those who care enough to listen, who care enough to walk alongside, to help as they can, it's in the caring presence of these people that Paul experiences the presence of God, that the strength of Jesus Christ, the stirring of the Spirit. I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles, because you sharing in my troubles, you were a visible expression of that deep spiritual reality of the strength of Christ. And Paul explains a little further then about how there were other churches, you know, but only the Philippians supported him financially and sent him aid. And again, Paul says, I'm not trying to, you know, butter you up and all of that. And he says in the end, he says, my God will supply all your needs too, just as He supplied my needs. Just as He supplied my needs through the caring of other flesh and blood believers, you folks. So, He says, He will supply your needs through the flesh and blood caring of other believers. Your needs will be supplied according to the glorious riches in Christ, and part of those glorious riches are others. Others. You read through Philippians 4 and you realize a lot of what we were reading there is on the side explanation. It's stuff that we might have put in brackets. And if Paul were to identify the main thread that runs through this chapter, you know what? The words, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, probably wouldn't even make it in that summary. They're part of the aside. Here's the main thread. Verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Verse 14, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Verse 18, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent me. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. That's it. Thanks for renewing your concern. So good of you to share in my troubles. I was blessed. In the love that we show each other, the sharing in each other's troubles, we are blessed with the presence of Jesus. And isn't that exactly what the gospel of Jesus is all about? Isn't that it? Jesus, the one in whom God shared in our troubles. The one who didn't ignore the hurting, didn't despise the weak, didn't offer advice from a position of out there somewhere, a position of safety or superiority, but who came to be with us. Isn't that the glory of Lent? Jesus, we might say, Jesus, it was so good of you to share in our troubles. And then in a moment of recognition, the face of a friend or the face of an other, the face of kindness, the face of respectful care. That face is transfigured into the face of Jesus. And in that moment, we recognize this is not about focusing either on God or on us, one or the other. This is about seeing the mystery of God, the glory of Jesus present in the faces of each other. Which calls to mind the Gospel of Matthew, right? Insofar as you did it to the least of these, to the hungry, the sick, the naked, the depressed, the disconsolate, the lonely. We share in each other's troubles. And when we do, we catch sight of Jesus. I hope that your face might be transfigured in the eyes of those who see you sharing in their troubles. And I hope that the faces of those who share in your troubles are transfigured so that you recognize back and forth the face of Jesus. Paul says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." It was good of you to share. It was good of you. It was good. And behold, says the writer of Genesis, it was good. When we share in each other's troubles, we image the God who made us. Amen. I'm going to invite you.